Welcome to the Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and friends. I'm your host, Paul Renfro, and with me are dear friends and mature people who are studying the scripture together about living as a spirit. We're using the scriptures in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. It's available at ParadigmLighthouse.com. That's link is in the show notes. You're welcome to get a copy, but you can just follow along. We'll have a whiteboard that has the excerpts and the Bible verses we'll be discussing. But it's the tagline that probably drew you to this presentation. Finally, a Bible explanation for what you are experiencing. Because all of us in this group are like you. We have been through this process of having that itch inside that nobody could scratch. But instead of giving up or just taking it as part of the norm, we each have pursued God and found that He could scratch that itch. When strange things keep happening in you and in your life circumstances, don't you feel deep down that there is something, some way, somehow, somebody in an unseen world that is active and maybe even determinative in this visible present world and maybe in your life? Well, you aren't crazy. That is happening to more and more people, and we know because it's happening to us as well. So we know for a fact that it is God agitating people to draw near to Him, and that's not an easy process. So we welcome you to join in. That's what we're discussing tonight. Please give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down because your comments are welcome, and the show notes will tell you how to contact me directly. Now, my friends and I, thank you for joining us. It's a privilege to talk about these things with each other and to include you. We're taking one Bible passage at a time that's used in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. And so first, I read the scripture, and then we read the short excerpt about that scripture from the book. And then our group discusses it together, and I'm sure you'll find that to be not only fascinating, but also relevant to your own questions. So let's get started. What we're talking about tonight, yes, how the gospel relates to God filling people with His Spirit. And in previous episodes, we've talked about the richness, the fullness, and the multiple spirits of God. We've talked about how He desires to be intimate with every person that to whom He gives life. And so we want to, without having to measure where we are on some scale, what we want to do is we want to go higher up and further in so that we can mature as living and functioning human spirits. And so here's an excerpt from chapter one in the book that we're going through. The scriptures are interspersed. A person's spirit is born when one believes Jesus' message and receives Him as Savior and Lord into his or her life. John began his gospel with a very succinct statement about that spirit birth, chapter 1, verse 12, when he wrote, "As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Now, the heading here is Spirit and the Gospel. Therefore, the Gospel is a means to an end. It is not the end itself. Now, I came up in my 50 years as a Christian through evangelicalism. And typically, the Gospel is presented as the end, the whole purpose. And once you got the Gospel, no need to go further. But this limited understanding leaves the church as a permanently immature infant, almost like a collection of stillborn spirits. And certainly evangelical has no exclusive on this ability. This just the nature of religion to say this far and no farther. But Jesus died to produce a result, to populate the kingdom of heaven with proven human spirits. Now that result, that desired outcome of God, is the why behind much of the Bible. And if the Bible has been mysterious to you, read it again with that understanding, that God wants to populate His kingdom with proven human spirits, able to function, trustworthy. The long centuries of Israel's covenant, 20 centuries, 15 centuries, are explained by that result, which will be covered in Book 5 of the Unseen series. Its title is Nobody Sees This Israel, God's Vanguard Against Darkness. Mm-hmm. It explains in that book, and this desired outcome that God had explains why the outpouring of the Holy Spirit accompanies salvation and why speaking in tongues was the Holy Spirit's selected gift to the early church. Now, populating earth with proven human spirits is why God is building his ecclesia. And I'm going to comment on that, not in the book at this moment, but elsewhere in the book. Ecclesia is the Greek word that was used to designate the civic ruling body. Our equivalent might be city council or board of county commissioners in my area.
We already have that.
Or mayoral board of mayor and counselors, like in Chicago and other areas, aldermen. But ecclesia communicated all that. And when the Roman world, when the Roman Empire took over a city, then they appointed its leading citizens to introduce the Roman way of life throughout civic law and civic regulation. And so that was how the word ecclesia was used. And that's the word that Jesus used three times. Every time Jesus used the word church, this Greek word appears in the manuscript. And so that is the concept of the church, populating earth with proven human spirits who can function in accordance with his kingdom principles and have a benefit and a beneficial effect on the people around us, like his kingdom would. That's what he's building his ecclesia. How? The subheading spirit and faith. In Genesis 15, Abraham believed God, and it says that God credited him with righteousness. A human spirit derives its spirit existence entirely from a relationship with God. God is spirit. He is reality. Wherever he is, that's reality, and is far superior and primary to our physical reality or the realities of our minds and emotions. However, God is unseen by any sense that the natural self possesses. He's spirit. He's unseen. So without being a spirit, we cannot see him. And that's what Jesus said. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the Spirit. So how does our spirit derive life from unseen spirit? How are we born in spirit? It is by faith, and particularly faith in the one who said he was the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus Christ. That's an excerpt from chapter 4. Of Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. And so, Diane, let's see what your thoughts are about this whiteboard and this passage that we've been discussing.
One thing is when God chooses to manifest himself by being seen, he will. And that's a great comfort. He may be unseen by our natural eyes most of our life, but he did manifest in his son, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he did manifest. I'm just reading Exodus. Mm-hmm. Boy, did he ever manifest there. Mm-hmm. Now, he himself wasn't seen, but he manifested himself to them. Mm-hmm. And he will do that occasionally when he knows he should and when he does. Mm-hmm. I like that. But I know it's not what this is. I was just thinking about
the Spirit, it definitely
of
does.
God,
yeah,
manifesting when he wants to.
So let me ask you a question. Can somebody who says, okay, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. Let me touch you. What do you think God's response is to that? Because many people take that attitude, and when he doesn't, then they say they must not be real. So
that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous?
Yeah.
And why?
It's ridiculous to demand God manifest himself to you. Who do you think you are? No, seriously.
Seriously.
You don't approach him like that.
In fact,
when you say, I would love to see you. You know how Moses said?
Yeah.
And he said, I'll show you my backside. Yeah. Okay. It must have been interesting. But
it wiped Moses out.
Yeah. I think we just need to be content with what God is doing for us and be happy with our salvation. Mm-hmm. And if we need a manifestation, we can ask for it. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what Chris says. What are your thoughts on this excerpt and Diane's comments?
I love the fact that you point out that the gospel is a means to an end. It's mm-hmm. not the end itself. And Jesus makes that really apparent in lots of places in the New Testament. And you talk a little bit later about the filling of the Spirit, that it's not just a like a glass of water now that you've got a full glass. The Spirit, we have to keep maturing in the Spirit and the knowledge that we have. Some people use the onion as an example of the how you just peel back layer upon layer. And when you start to get a new insight, because we're always trying to discern what God's will versus subordinating our will and surrendering ours to His, and all those discernments. So we sometimes we get to a place where we think, okay, I got it. And then, okay, there's another layer, the onion that peels back. And sometimes circumstances peel things back to us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit shows us a new depth. Or sometimes you're just reading the Bible and you've never read that sentence before. You know you have.
Oh, yeah.
But it just, it's right? And new. That just happened to me yesterday when I was reading it in church, a portion, and all of a sudden this piece came out. I was like, I read it over. I practiced to read it out loud and everything. But when I was actually reading it, the Holy Spirit highlighted it for me. So when it came out of my mouth, I literally had to stop because it was about Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar. Right? Not honoring the Lord when he took the vessels from the temple out and drank from them because they were inebriated and then started honoring their idols. And he was told in no uncertain terms, talking about truth. He got a piece of God's truth.
He sure did.
There. And it ties back to what Diane was saying about how dare there is a, do not test the Spirit. Don't challenge.
Don't
God.
Tempt God.
Don't tempt Him, but don't show reverence. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit is awe, the fear of the Lord, and not literal fear, but awe, where you just fall down like that Imagine song. I'm just gonna fall down on my knees. I don't think I can possibly stand in His presence. It's just when you truly open your mind to try to fathom this unfathomable God. The Spirit will definitely sling any part of you that wants to be a little rebellious or a little taunting of God, show yourself to me, or any of those kinds of things. The gospel is definitely a means to an end, but the grace of God, when we pray, when we open our hearts, God's grace pours in there as well. And that is when the Spirit can fill us, and God does want to reward us. There's a time where you get rewarded a lot early in your faith.
And let me jump in before going to Andrew and say what you describe, you just don't know how he is going to speak to us, touch us, show himself to us. It's like a constant adventure, a constant surprise, but he's not cheap. And that's another thing we've discussed in previous episodes, because he's not cheap. And so he's not low-hanging fruit. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And that's something that is really a rich heritage and promise that the Bible gives to everybody who would like to relate to God and be alive as a spirit. And so you just do the baby steps. It's just like human development. You got to crawl and then you walk. And then after that, you go to work and get married and have a family and reproduce. And like it says in the Narnia Chronicles, when the little girl Lucy is asking Mr. Beaver about Aslan, he's a lion. Is he safe? And Mr. Beaver says, safe? No. Is he tame? No. He's not a tame lion. And that's how it is with God Almighty. Andrew, what are your thoughts on this subject that we're talking about?
So I've had a couple of thoughts. Mm-hmm. One is that you made the statement in the book that therefore the gospel is a means to an end. It's not the end itself. Yeah, evangelicism presents the gospel as the end. The underlying thought there is that they're believing that once you're saved, you're always saved. And so if you can just get them to say a few magic words, then they'll be okay. And you can walk away and leave them. And really, we do a disservice to people if we try to tell them that, because they may think that they're okay and they may never go any further and they may actually go to hell, most likely.
It's so sad. And it is a disservice. And listener, viewer, you may have been disturbed in that way. There are many people in the public eye who grew up in such an environment, but then finding that there was no impact in their life, they're very vocal in public in their hostility to Christianity. Right. I don't need to name names, but anybody who follows popular social individuals can name some. And Andrew, it just really drives home what you're saying. Diane, what do you want to say? And then let's go to Mark.
Okay, well, we have a relative who says, I'm saved, like fire insurance.
Mm.
But she still hates African Americans.
Mm.
When she goes to church, she says, I went to church today, but I don't know anybody, and I don't want to. I hope she's moved on.
I hope so, too. I sent her one of my books, and she texted me back and said, I already know what I believe, and I'm not open to anything new.
I would give her Matthew 25.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, let's hear what you have to say.
Really good dialogue in this beginning part of this episode. And I think that when we read this and we have a discussion about this, I think the assumption that you're drawing to at the very beginning is of the born again believer, because you talk about spirit life and born in the spirit. And then you move to the ecclesia, and that's the body of believers in the assembly coming together in an agreement and as legislative. And so when we look over the scope of what you're talking about, I think that you mention it right there. You talk about Jesus died to produce a result. So the ecclesia, in its broadest sense, is going to produce. We see the how does our human spirit derive from the Holy Spirit or this new spirit life? I'm thinking about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, going to Romans 12 and recognizing that we have been changed and it's going to produce a different result. I'm not going to do what I used to do. I'm going to do and be led by the Holy Spirit in this. And so the interaction that we have from our human spirit, the Holy Spirit transforms us into his likeness as the ecclesia when we all come together in one mind. Okay. Book of Acts says you will receive power. Jesus died and you brought up the gospel that we would receive power to live on this planet and cause the results of the kingdom of God. And if we go over to John, Gospel of John, when Jesus is interacting with Nicodemus, he's saying about the Holy Spirit, about the Spirit of God. When the Spirit comes, you're going to see the results of the Spirit. You don't see the wind, but you see the results. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, there's going to be results. There's going to be from the action of the Holy Spirit working in the church, working in the believer, working in the ecclesia, there's going to be results on the earth, and they're going to look like heaven. They will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's unseen. We can't see heaven, but we know it exists, and we know by faith. You bring that up. This is by faith. That's your last statement, your question. Yeah. And so when we recognize that, this has to our mind now have been renewed. Our minds changed. We're already born again believers. We're not working backwards. We're working forwards, and we're causing results on the earth. People are getting saved, healed, saved, delivered, and restored. And these signs shall follow those who believe. And there's going to be results that the Holy Spirit's at work in the believer, and it's interfacing back to what I said earlier about interfacing or with our spirit and bringing us into the realm of that unseen spirit, unseen realm. And then we move and operate, and people look in and say, what's different about them? Why are they happy in a miserable world? Why, whatever the case may be, we speak those things that are not as though they were. We're fully persuaded. We believe those things Abraham believed. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Everything changes. Our vocabulary changes. Our thoughts change. What we see, what we taste, everything. And
now, just for clarity, I don't think you're saying that it's an instant change.
It is not an instant change.
But it is a definite change, and one that progresses as we mature.
Here again, because we go from milk to meat. Yeah. We're infants. We come in the spirit. But there's a process of sanctification that takes. I believe that's the whole time we're alive on the planet prior to going to glory.
Yeah.
We're not going to attain, let's say, perfection, but completion in the Lord. And I'm on that program called Ask the Pastor, and that came up today about perfection. And some pastors believe that we can attain that perfection. Jesus is the only perfect one, but we have the completeness in that perfection in Christ. Mm. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit, bringing the you will receive power. Okay, now let's see it.
One thing's for sure. If somebody's achieved perfection, they're the last person to promote it because they're going to be meek and poor in spirit. Merciful, right. Yeah. Okay. I tell you, I got something I want to say, but open floor. Chris, Andrew, Diane, what would you all like to add?
I want to add one thing. Diane earlier was talking a little bit, and it got me thinking about some of what the Apostle Paul said, where he was talking about how the Holy Spirit was confirming his words in signs and miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, what we're all really striving for as a New Testament church, to get to this place where that's happening, and that God is not dead. He's not retired. He's fully active in the world and is still moving powerfully.
You mean he's not retired?
No.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Chris, how about it?
I don't have anything else to add.
I just want to add that one of the things I've enjoyed in this conversation, listener, viewer, there is a tendency in American religion, ever since the revivalism of the Second Great Awakening, to individualize our Christian faith. And this is private between me and God, and maybe you have said those kind of things, or know people who have. When the fact of the matter is, God is building a kingdom, and as you've heard us talking about, he wants results. We are accountable to produce results, and not individually alone, but also as a body. And this is why we have churches. This is why we have submission within church structure, hierarchy, and leadership, such as each denomination might have embraced and established. And there's liberty among all Christians to be drawn to the appropriate denomination or worship fellowship of their as God leads. But the point is that we're working together. We're pulling in the same yoke. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you listener, reader, viewer, who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you, for you will find rest for your souls. And that's Matthew 11:28-30. And it's just such a beautiful invitation where God Almighty has brought you to this podcast where you can partake and be drawn to him so that you can draw near to him. And so we've talked about that in previous episodes, and we hope that you'll join us for the upcoming episodes. If you haven't subscribed, be sure you do, because you get notifications and other good benefits like our fellowship.
We'll continue our discussion in the next episode of The Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and his friends. In the show notes are the links mentioned, as well as the whiteboard we used and the scriptures that we discussed. Now, you already know that our podcast and Bible discussion benefits from your thumbs up or thumbs down, right? So thanks for doing that, and we'll enjoy your participation. If you have questions or interest, you can use the contact form at paradigmlighthouse.com to reach out to us.